Hello, 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 everybody. I'm wearing a sweater because it's kind of cold here and outside, of course. And we're coming to Vayishlach. What is that I can tell you about Vayishlach that I didn't tell you so far about Vayishlach before? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Vayishlach mean, and Jacob sent malachim, angels, or messenger, two different explanations, to his brother Esau. Remember his brother Esau wished to kill him for many years, to the land where Esau is. What's the name of the land? Seir, Sede Edom. The field of Edom, of the red. Then he tells them to say to Esau, I'm reading from the paragraph in the Torah, in the Bible. He said, please tell to Adoni, to the master, to Esav, your servant Jacob, want you to know that he used to live with Lavan. And I have a bull and a donkey, sheep, servant, and I want you to know about it, so you should like me. The guy want to kill you. That's the best message you can give him. Don't know. Don't know about. Vayashuvu ha-malachim el Yaakov, the angel, the messenger, came back to Jacob and say, or the angels, we came to your brother. He actually walking toward you, and he has with him 400 people. Vayira Yaakov. Yaakov start to freak out, start to get scared. And he felt nervous. Right away, split the people and the sheep that he have to two camp. And he said, if Esau come to one camp, at least I have the other camp survive. After he say that, he start praying. And he pray and he say, God, you know, I'm a nobody. And the way I start about 25 years ago, I was only a staff in my hand. And look at me now. I have so much more. And I'm worried that I lost my merit. Just because you gave me so much money, you gave me so much thing. Because a lot of time when you get so many gifts like wisdom and money and beauty, unfortunately, if you don't have enough pain to get there, that means part of your merit is going to go away. Please save me, God, for my brother, from Esau, because I'm afraid that he will come and hit all of us and kill all of us. And you promised to take care of me. The story of the beginning of the parsha that I can read the whole section because I enjoy even the story. It gives me such a great joy. But we need to get into the depth, into the more understanding. What can we get from it? What is exactly going on here? You have a killer on the road. You have a killer on the road for you. Esau promised to kill you because he assumed and think as being a victim, you know, when you meet a victim personality, they always assume what's wrong with you. The victim personality, can't change them. People who are born victim usually die victim. What is a victim personality? They all day long complain about something. It's never good enough. It's a victim personality. Esau, classic victim personality. Remember, 2 weeks ago, he came, he was hungry, He was not happy about the old thing of being the firstborn idea, even to get a few percent here and there. He said, you know what? I don't need that. Can I get soup instead? Jacob said, okay, let's have a handshake. You get the soup, I get the birthright. I said, okay, a deal. Then when Jacob go ahead and kind of steal the blessing, which he didn't, then Esau get angry and said, I'm going to kill my brother. What is it about brother that they never get along? What is it? What went wrong in the creation of brothers? Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how to look at it, I never had a brother, so I don't know. I can be the judge of it. But when I read in the history, since Cain and Abel, never work. The people who established Rome as we know it, were two brothers that one of them disappeared or died. The only brother that I can tell you exists in the Torah as get along, even they were in the same position, was Moses and Aaron. The only two brothers, no ego involved. Other than that, some of the answer for that, Rabbi Isaac Luria explained, is because when brothers born to the same father and mother, they connect to the same Shoresh Neshama. Shoresh Neshama means the roots of the soul, where it's come from. And when you connect to the same roots of the soul, you're sharing the same source of energy. So when your brother is getting it right, you get jealous. And then animosity, hatred, disharmony, all kind of problems happen. But when you are thinking to yourself, how can we both fix whatever we came here to do, then the brother would become one of the best things. Jacob and Esau didn't seem to work it out. And when I say Jacob and Esau, I'm talking about more Esau. He was busy being a victim. I don't know how many of you have a life that you're not happy to have. Question, do you point the finger and let the ego keep running your life? Or you say, you know what? I'm looking inside. I think it's all up to me to make it right. As the Breslev Rebbe said, Im ata ma'amin, if you believe that you destroy it, you shall believe that you can build it. But if you don't believe that you the one who destroy it, you will never build it. Because you're blaming your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and all kind of people, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your partner, your next door neighbor. Blaming, you know, you're going to blame somebody. You blame, you're going to be in that loop, catch 22 for the rest of your life. But in the moment you say, you know what, the reason things don't work in my life is because of me, the good news, you can fix it. The bad news, nobody else can fix it. So it's all up to you. Esau didn't get it. He was busy blaming his brother. Respect his father, respect his mother. But he has to find his brother and kill him. So, what would you do if you will be Yaakov? Would you deal with the situation? I mean, you need to cope. In life, most people escape coping with the situation. Most people don't want to cope with the situation. People are afraid of confrontation. They're afraid of dealing with the situation. They don't want to cope with anything. Yeah, thank God some people are happy with the coronavirus. They don't have to cope with anything. Jacob is not a victim. He needs to cope with the situation. He needs to cope with the killer on the road. There is a killer on the road for him, coming for him. Jacob saying, you got to deal with it. This week is all about, you got to deal with the situation. You got to deal with it. You got to cope. I mean, if you're not coping with it, it will find you next lifetime or a different corner. You cannot just get drunk and forget about your problem. You cannot just use drugs or mushroom or whatever and go to heaven with the angel and then come down. You have to deal with life. You have to cope. You have to deal with it. You have somebody try to kill you. Let's learn, let's study what Jacob did here. Maybe we can learn about our life. How do we need to cope with our issues? I don't think some of you as a killer on the road coming for you. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. But we are dealing with a tough one here. The way Jacob divided the camp, he put Rachel and Leah together, and he put the maid, or not the maid, the concubine together. Because he knew that Rachel and Leah is the merit of the grandfather. So they will be protected. But the concubine behind Zilpah don't have protection. He was worried about them. So he put the front, Leah and Rachel, in the back, Zilpah Bila. Let's go back to that section. So the Zohar asked that question. וישלח יעקב מלאכים. זוהר שדבר רבי אלעזר, מה שכתוב, כי מלאכה וצווה לך שמוכה בכל דרכך. אוקיי. So according to the Zohar here, it say that it's good that he sent the angels, and it was actually an angel. But Rabbi Abba said, another rabbi, מפני מה נתעורר ולשלוח אל עזר? What's the problem after so many years? We talk about more than 20 years. Why would you be busy? Say, Esav, Esau, my brother, I want to tell you where I am. Why do you need to cope with something that died 20 something years ago? Why do you need it? Leave it alone. Leave it alone. No, I got to cope with it. I got to deal with it, and then I will confront the issue. Why? But why? מפני מה? נתעורר לשלוח אל עשיו. מוטב היה לו, עושה רבי אבא, מוטב היה לו לשתוק ולהתעלם. עושה רב אבא, not for him to just shut up and ignore the situation. Ignore it like it's not there. Like we all do in our generation. Continue רבי אבא. Say, Yaakov say, I know my brother. He was waiting for my father and mother to pass away. And he never get my father angry. So now when the father is gone, Isaac is gone. The father was still alive. He said, Lachen rak ata bod avi kayam. He said, my father is still alive. Ani tzarich leitpayes imo. Better I make peace with him now than after the father died, then there's danger. Miyad v'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. Say Rabbi Abba, that's the reason he sent the angels, because he got to deal with it. Got to deal with it. Okay, so now we understand at least. So we need to be smart about how to deal with our enemy and problem. You got to cope, you got to deal, you got to confront, but timing is everything. You have to see the timing. We didn't talk about how to do it yet. First, we need to know timing, and we got to cope. We cannot just say, it's not there, not there, it's not there. It is there. It's looking at you. It is there. Now, cope is not only with people, by the way. Cope is with your problem. You got to deal with it. You have issues. What is your issue? I don't know. You're eating too much. Okay. You are too charming with other people when your partner is next to you. You got to cope with that. That can be a disease or addiction. You got to cope with whatever it is. You're too greedy for money. You're too jealous. You got to cope. You got to deal with it. You cannot just bury it in the ground and hope that no thing going to grow up. Once you put the seed of negativity in the ground, it's going to be a tree of negativity. You cannot ignore the situation. So that's what we learn from Jacob. We got to deal with it. We got to deal with the situation. I know that a lot of you, especially if you're Pisces, bother by that. Because Pisces and Libra don't like to deal with the situation. People who tell you they don't want to deal with confrontation or cope with the situation, that means there is something about them which is a liar. They're not real. Everybody has to cope with whatever is around them. You got to make a call. You got to make a call. Might be a good call, might be right, a wrong call. But a call needs to be made. You know, when you play tennis, I love tennis. Not so good at it right now. When you play tennis, many years ago I played with somebody who was considered as a liar. What do you mean a liar? A liar would mean the ball hitting next to the line and they say out. Everybody saw it was in, but they... So I remember what I told myself when I saw it. I said, you know what? I got to play a better tennis. If I play better tennis, then the ball will never be next to the line. It will be always inside the court. And for that reason, there will be no argument. But it used to bother me. So we make a decision that only the one who received the ball, if you know tennis, will make the call. He agree, I agree, everybody's happy. Then I hit the ball, it was very, very nice shot. It looked like ace to me, serve. I was out. I was upset, but I had to respect the deal. Then his ball hit in, and I was thinking to pay him back the same way. Not cool. That's cheating, that's lying. But the thought went to my mind. I'm ashamed of that thought, but that's what the lecture is about. I'm going to share with you those things. And I was looking like, why do I want to win? I started asking that question. Why do I want to win? What is the reason of me have that need to win that game? I'm here to play. I'm here to enjoy. I'm here maybe to lose weight, to enjoy a fun time with friends. And at that moment, I realized that I'm developing like some kind of addiction to approval of the other people that will like me once I win the game. What I did forget is if I win the game and they're not happy I won, they're not going to be my friend. So the way I cope with the situation is by going to start playing not just with player that I can win or player that we are even, start playing game with people way above me if they will agree to play with me. And to be honest, I lost 98% of the time. But if I make one point in, I would be very happy. Super happy. Celebrate all day. What I'm trying to tell you, in your life there is a situation where you're fooling yourself. In your life there is a situation where things are not real. And until you don't meet your enemy are needed for your journey. We need our enemy. Those enemy tell you where you are fake. Those enemy tell you where you are need to change. Those enemy tell you where you need to go up or down or sideways. Because the enemy recognize your fault. They don't like you. They will tell you what's wrong with you. Now you either deal with it, cope with that, or just ignore the whole thing. And live a beautiful fake life. Most people live beautiful, perfect, beautiful, gorgeous, fake life. Do you know that? Most couples, beautiful, fake life. I help thousands of couples in my life. Most of them, fake, fake, fake. And as good you get in being fake, better the relationship become. Sounds crazy, right? Nobody want to cope with the situation. I remember one time I was invited to that fancy lecture that I had to do, fancy house, like huge home, acres, giving the lecture. And of course, the men and the women want to talk to me after for a meeting, private meeting. So I'm meeting with that lady aside. She's the owner of the house. So I don't know what to do. This is my husband. I have a lover. He doesn't know about the lover, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Basically, there is a 45 minutes talk about everything that is fake in her life. And I don't know what to do because I love my husband. Being Israeli and having an accent allow me to be more open about my opinion. Those of you who know me. And I said, I'm sorry to tell you, but I don't think you love your husband. Your husband, I don't think you ever loved him. I think it was a good deal. He has money. It's a perfect deal for you. Why not? Enjoy. But don't lie to yourself. It's okay. You want a big home, you want a fancy car, you want a private jet everywhere. It's good, good life. You want all your organic or whatever you guys eating. She was upset, and then she called me to come back. She said, listen, nobody ever been honest with me. Let's be friends. So now tell me what to do. I said, well, it depends what you want to have. Do you want to be rich? And it can be fake, but it's not a bad idea. Or you can fall in love with your little lover from South Beach, Miami. You have to choose. I mean, you have to choose. What is better in your life? And she cried for 48 hours, calling me and crying and crying. In the end, I was very proud of her. She chose love over money. And in the end, she received money as well. I was very impressed. I didn't expect her, somebody from here, California, from the fanciest home you ever seen in your life, give that up for finding true love. I was touched by that. You know, so when people tell you they have something they believe in, you have to ask them, what did you give up? Did you give up anything? If you didn't give up anything, you're not yet real with yourself. Jacob couldn't help himself. He had to be real. Jacob is a real person. That's why he say, Titen Emet Le Yaakov. Emet, the word Emet, which means truth. Truth belongs to the name Yaakov. Just Jacob. You say Jacob, you say true. You say Jacob, you say honesty. So Jacob knew he has to do it with the timing. We understand when his father is alive. But still, how do you do it when you have to deal with it, when you have to cope with the situation? So he'd say, what is he telling his brother? Im Lavan Garti. I want you to know, I spent more than 20 years with the guy named Lavan. Lavan. L-A-V-A-N, I think. Lavan. Who is this Lavan? This Lavan is the grandfather of the worst person ever to live on this planet. A person that when he look at you, he can kill you because he's jealous of what you have. You don't mess with the guy. He's just looking at you from far. His grandfather was the master of magic. He can kill anybody by thinking about him. He said to him, listen, I live in his house. We had barbecue together. We did Thanksgiving together. Yeah. We're thinking about how to go to trip to Bahamas. That's Lavan. Me and Lavan, buddy. Yaakov and Lavan, buddy. And I have to tell you, it was pretty good. All my kids was born there. I left with way more money than I even dreamed to live. Life is good. What is Esau thinking now? One second. Let's move. I remember my father 2 weeks ago, bless him. V'ten lecha. Isaac, bless him that he will have everything he wants. He have it. Our father also bless him, he will be protected. He's protected. Now Esau starts to have anxiety. Esau is going to attack Jacob. But now the doubts start playing a role in his brain. He's thinking, what am I doing here? Are we dealing with the how to cope? The question is, why Jacob has to say those specific words to Esau? Well, Jacob was afraid of Esau. He was. Now he make Esau afraid of him. Why? Because in the art of negotiation, and I hope everybody will remember that, you have to come even, to even ground. If you come into even ground, you can control the situation. Those of you who know chess, I play a lot of chess. I'm not as good as I wanted to be. There is rules. The rule said that if you are one piece below, one of the way to win is you eat more than your partner or your opponent eat pieces from you. So if you eat more, you're going to win eventually. That's a simple rules to win. It's not so simple, but I'm just sharing this. So it's when you come into even ground, then how do you cope with your enemy then? What did Jacob do? When he meet Esau, he bowed to him 7 times. Now I want to ask you, my friend, If you have somebody you're afraid of, and instead of it come to attack you, he start bow to you, and then kiss your cheek on both sides. What happened? Let me read to you what happened. When he hugged him, say Rashi, one of the commentary, Nidgalgelu Rachamav. Right away, Esau started to have mercy on his brother when he saw him bow to him. When he kissed him, it said that it truly Esau want to bite him. But say to us, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai, Alacha, there is a spiritual law. Esav will always hate Jacob. From the beginning of first lifetime to the end of this world. Always going to hate him. Ela shenichmeru rachamav otoshav v'nishko bekolibo. But at that moment, Jacob find a tool to wake up the love within his enemy and force him to love him. The question, my friend, what was that tool? What is the tool to turn every negative into positive? I remember, I had many teachers, many rabbis, many mentors in my life. One of my mentors once asked me, Aliyah, how do we turn, I want you to find out, how do we turn enemy to somebody who loves you? And I was thinking, and after about 1 year and 3 months, I came back. And I said, I think I have the answer. And at that time, my mentor didn't even remember the question. And he looked at me and said, you took it very seriously, literally, to find out the answer. I said, I take everything very seriously. And now, I'm starting to get doubts to take you seriously, mentor. And that was the time that I start to think maybe I should break away from a person who asked me such a deep question, and I go on a task to look for an answer. When I come back, he doesn't even remember the question. I thought maybe it's good for my ego, so that's why I continue being one of his disciples, because I thought that's good for me. But I don't think it was good for him not to remember. That's my opinion. I'm not here to judge, I'm just saying. So what is the how? How do you cope with your enemy? And how do you turn the enemy into love? When you first create equal, even ground, you're both afraid of each other. And I bow to you and kiss you and please you. What happened in your heart? What happened to your fear at that moment? Your fear go away. What is a fear? Fear is basically, it's a sound of sadness. Because in psychology they teach sadness, fear, and anger. So you get angry because you're afraid. It's almost psychology. And then you're afraid because something about you is sad. It's not been built well. This is not Kabbalah. This is psychology. So now, Jacob was able to unlock the love within Esau. How? By removing the fear that he had. When Esau no longer afraid of his brother, that's when you fall in love. Try to think about it. You're in the jungle of Africa. The jeep broke down. The people on the jeep was taken by a magic airplane. And you are alone and the evening coming down. You hear the lions around you. You start running. And you see a group of lions chasing you. You have no place to go. They're surrounding you. They're coming closer to you. So the club coming closer to you, they start licking you and they guide you how to get out of that village to a safe place. The fear that you have toward the lion changed to what? Immediately to love. So we just learn how. How do you turn something into something? Equal ground. Fear and fear. I'm afraid of you. You're afraid of me. And by you being nice to me while I'm afraid of you, I will be forced to love you. It will not be my choice. I will be forced to love you. Some secret that I want you to share that is based on the Zohar. And if we understand that, how to cope with think, how to cope with negativity in our life, we learn from that session, from that section and session, everything about how to cope. And if we not take it very seriously, we will either hide from our area, which means, you know, you fly away from it, the 3F, right? Fly and freeze and fight. Or you just freeze and ignore the situation. When we look at our universe, our humanity right now, everybody is either freeze or running away. Nobody's confronting the issue. Nobody's coping with the situation. No people dealing with anything. When you're forced to deal, you deal. But if we have this technology, how to turn everything which is wrong into your life into a great story, that's really what it's all about. Now, what did Yaakov do before he coping with the situation? He prayed. He prayed. He meditated. He dealt with the situation in the deepest level because he realized his brother is just a reflection of his fear. His brother is nothing more than a reflection of things that he couldn't deal with. His brother is only a reflection of what he couldn't cope with himself. So the area that you couldn't cope with yourself will have to reflect itself on outside with different people. Brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, father, mother, boss, whatever it is. Because you didn't cope with yourself. So if you have any fear that you didn't deal with, let's say you have a fear of losing control. So the fear comes from within, not outside. So Esau, in every one of us' life, is our reflection of the issue internally that we didn't cope with. And for that reason, the first thing you do, you pray, you meditate. And the beautiful here, it says, Bore, verse 58 in the Zohar, Sulam. Bore, come and behold, the prayer of Jacob protect him. Not his merit. Jacob did a lot of great things. When you do a lot of great things, like battery. Your merit go up, 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 up. That's called your merit. So you say his pray help him, not his merit. Why? Because he didn't want to use his merit. He said, Dear God, I want to keep my battery for when? Meshum sherata laniach zchuto lebanav acharav. For my children and my grandchildren and all the children coming after that. Say, I don't want to use my battery to protect me from Esau trying to kill me. That's why he say he pray and meditate to God, and he didn't trust his merit, and he didn't trust anything besides that prayer that he did. And it's tremendous. And then when he split the camp to two, he realized Rachel and Leah can be protected, but he have to protect the other people. And for that reason, it's written, the prayer of the poor person is the first prayer that's been answered. There's many type of prayer, but the prayer of the poor gets answered first. Why? Before all the prayer, verse 63, before all the prayer of the poor is number one in the eyes of God. Why is that? Okay? Because when a person let me read it here. Verse 65. She shoberet sha'arim. When a person is poor, he can break all gates of heaven, all entrance, and the first prayer of a poor coming across of the master, you can call it God. Because God is merciful, so the first prayer is the people who are in need. But there is the prayer of Moses, the prayer of righteous. No. The prayer of the poor. Question here. What about if somebody is a billionaire? So there's no point for him to pray? Like, what do you do? Why the prayer of the poor? Great question. The answer for this prayer, how do you look at your life? My niece, Nitzi, put something incredible on her Instagram today. And I always look up to her. And she said, today I realize that I have everything that I pray for. What a verse. Today I realize that I have everything that I pray for. And she doesn't have a lot. I know her very well. And I had to look at it for a long time to say, my God, what a person. Today I have everything that I pray for. That's what she's saying in the morning. I don't think she hear my lecture. I can speak, right? She live in a basement. 2 kids. And she say, today, I have everything that I pray for. You tell me, if a person like this come to you and say to you, I need the bread, how fast would you go to get them the bread? Very fast. Poor is not just money or knowledge or other thing. Poor is when you realize that everything you have can be gone in a second. That's real poor person. So when you hold the prayer book or your meditation and you come to the Creator, the Master of all, and you said, everything I have, include my body, include my health, include everything, this is here momentarily. Thank you for letting me use it. And then when you pray, you are poor too. And when you are poor, that prayer goes so fast out. That's how you become poor all the time. You eat food, stop. Think. What a luxury. Even this. I can somehow. The table you're eating on. If you look at the table that you're eating on, not all table last. Some table fall apart all of a sudden. Appreciate the table. Appreciate the chair. That's what Jacob did before coping with his enemy. He dealt with the inside. So now, what we learn about the owl? You got to deal with the inside, then go reflected on the outside. Reflect on the outside. Even ground, then be nice to the other person, and then you're going to win. Always. When we look at what happened after in the portion, it's a little different. Jacob have 2 sons. One of them named Simon, the other one Levi, Shimon ve-Levi. They moved to the city of Shechem, it's called Nablus. Dinah, their sister, going out to the city. The people there are very rough, aggressive, not nice, specifically to women. And she was raped more than one time. The problem they had is the raper want to marry her now. Jacob, sitting quiet, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to deal with the situation. Remember, Jacob is all about coping and making peace and making love, that everything would be perfectly okay. Shimon and Levi, a little bit more spirit of jalapeno, you know, not anger issue, but there is fire going on there, volcano. They don't like him. And they say, our sister is no prostitute. What they do? They say to Shechem ben Hamor, by the way, the name till today, 3,000 years later, the name of this place where it happened still have the same name till today, guys. Till today. Shechem. The place called Shechem. You go on the map. Shechem. Next to Jenin, north of Jerusalem. Shechem. one of the most dangerous villages to be in. Shechem. Have a conversation. You want to marry her. They are in the town that don't belong to them. The tribe of Israel. With Jacob and his children. Levi and Shimon come up with that idea. And they say, we're going to tell them to circumcise. We're going to cheat them. And when there's, and they say, if you circumcise yourself like us, you can marry our sister, which was a lie. Let's see how they cope with the problem. The whole city was circumcised themselves because the Shechem was the son of Hamor. Hamor was the king of the city. Shechem was the son. Everybody is circumcised themselves. All the men, soldier, everybody. They are in pain the third day. Shimon and Levi represent forces that you cannot imagine. More than Superman or all your hero that you can think about. When they hold the end together, they become a force that not even an atomic bomb can be discovered to you. All what they have to do is to hold the hand together and put sword on each arm, and then they go in circle like a tornado. And whatever in their way die. The speed is beyond our understanding. My friend, they kill every man in that city. I cannot even describe to the bloodshed. When Jacob hear about it, he become very upset, and he decide to curse them and their generation for the rest of their being, ever. And he say, "If Ashtem et Shmi, you make my name bad," because we know Jacob doesn't cope with a problem like that. You saw what he did with Esau. How he did it, what he did, the timing, everything has to be perfect. The prayer, the meditation. Jacob took life very seriously that it has to be done spiritually, but you have to still deal with it physically. Yes. In the old days, the rules of somebody rape a girl, if the girl is not in a place where she can scream, the man who did it has to die. Jacob didn't understand why they had to kill the whole town. You have a problem with this guy, deal with the guy. Why the whole city has to die? And of course, they had to leave town because a lot of other tribe heard about it. And everybody come with their army and knife. The problem, when they wear the knife and the sword on them, it start moving and shaking. And when it start moving and shaking, they had to take it off. So when they took it off, it stopped shaking. So they realized they're dealing with some magician or some powerful people. So that's work for Jacob. But I'm here only to talk about how do you cope with your life? With the thing that's not working well for you. You ignore it. You fight it, but you don't know how to fight. You freeze. What do you do? Because you got to find a way to deal with, to cope with that. If you're not coping with the situation internally, pray, meditation, and everything, I don't want to tell you that it sounds like a bad news, but it's coming your way. It's coming back your way. And if it's coming back your way, you will have to deal with it. And it's written here. Even that, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Kulama Yubitasfim Lilachem. The whole world came to fight with Jacob at that moment after he did that. After the son did it. Aval kasher chagru klei hakrav, ayu meratetim. All swords start to shake. Vishlichu utam. They get rid of it. They didn't want to fight them. Ve'al ken lo ratfu achre b'nei Yaakov. For that reason, they didn't want to chase them. It's a beautiful miracle. The question is, my friend, do you want to know what's not working with your life and change it? Or you want to ignore what's not working in your life? You know, when people start coaching session with me, I usually do 10 sessions. That's the best way to know how to change. A person does 10 sessions with me. Usually in the session number 5, they wake up. And the wake up can be very painful. Very, very painful. Usually they're blaming me to bring the pain. And I'm used to it, so I'm doing it for 30 something years. So normally the person who wake you up is the person who brings pain. So when I wake up people to see what's really going on in their life, like I wake up that lady cheating on her husband with another guy, and she called it love. And by the way, I have to add something there. She didn't end up with a lover. When I said suddenly she ended up with another guy. You have to remember, always the lover is the wrong guy. The lover is the pizza man. He's delivering the pizza. He's the one to tell you, hey, your relationship is bad. But how are you going to cope with that when somebody tells you your relationship is bad? Ignore. Freeze. Forget. Or, Jacob style, cope with it by praying, by realizing it's an inner reflection of your inside. You got to deal with it. You cannot ignore it. You know, I know people, for example, that saw that their child not doing very well in college, but they rather want to believe that everything is okay. They want to believe in it. Their parents, what their parents want to see, everything is okay. After 6 months, they realize it's not so okay. After 9 months, they realize it's really bad and terrible. The way they deal with it after that was beautiful to watch. They cope with the situation, but I understand they need to rebuild the structure of the kid, rebuild their surrounding and everything around the kids. And coincidentally, but not coincidentally, you know it, the child make a tremendous 180 degree that I never seen in my life before. And I saw people. Which is, thank to the parents, a little bit, the way they cope with the situation, was mostly thank to the child. The way he cope with the situation. He or she, whatever. So wherever you are, is how you cope with the situation. And I believe that the definition of a human being, a strong human being, is not what you accomplish. Is how you actually coping with the situation. Almost by talking to you, I want to write only a book about how to cope. I'm telling you, it's needed. I'm telling you, this is one of the things I'm thinking as I'm talking to you. How to deal with the situation, how to cope with the situation. Because everybody go to those courses, how to make decisions, how to do this. But in the end, they bury themselves into not dealing with inside. Because I believe you got to deal with the internal, you got to deal with the external. And if you don't deal with it, eventually it will hunt you. And it will hunt you down worse than Esau and Jacob. And for that reason, I always suggest to people, do not ignore the situation. And one thing you cannot do, you can never, never, ever lie to yourself. Like I saw in the beginning of the virus of COVID, always you have a group who say, nothing going on. The other group say it's very severe. You don't know what to believe to. Then people say, no big deal. We did a little party. Then they come back, they're all sick. Let's say there is a real disease. How do you cope with that? We have a situation now in the world. I don't know if you get the notes about it. I mean, something's going on. You can call it COVID. You can call it whatever you want to call it. 9 months of heaviness. How do you cope? Internally. How do you deal with you? How do you deal with you? Do you pray well? Do you meditate? Do you ask for help like a poor person? Do you deal with whatever new demons and enemy that was awake during that 9 months? Is it the area of relationship? Is it the area of addiction? Is it the area of anger or whatever it is? I know many, many people who did actually excellent in this time. I just heard the person who made the most amount of money in his life during the COVID. I met other people. It was about to get a divorced couple. Came back together. A woman was on heavy drugs, I thought she was dying. Let go of drugs. Weird thing that happened on one group. The other group, the worst divorce, the worst thing. What happened? The way you cope with it, is it external problem? Or it is internal that reflect on the external? Is it your father's fault that you feel shame? No! Your father is a messenger. Your father in this case is your Esau. Yes! He need to be Esau for you. Now look inside. Do you feel secure? Do you feel good about yourself? Build yourself up. Pray, meditate, do whatever you need. Once that built well. All working. Today, as you know, I did meditation at 12. 12 it was, I think. I did about forgiveness. So I finished the meditation, we closed the camera, closed everything. I look at my wife. I said to her, listen, I think I forgive every human being who ever hurt me. Purposely, not purposely. But I'm worried because it turned into ego. I feel ego about it. So what do you mean ego? I said, nobody bothered me. The only person I have a hard time with is myself. I have a hard time forgiving myself with some choices I made. I made a lot of wrong choices, including being with those wrong people. But those wrong people, I forgive them. I'm sure that they're part of God and part of the Creator to be in my life, as that will shift left or right. I need them. I need my enemy there to cause some damage. Chas v'shalom, I don't wish it more in my future, but it was needed then. So I will make better choices. But I don't hate them or wish them bad. For them, I think they could do better. What I'm not forgiving is myself. Knowing that something is wrong, but looking at the other side, freeze and not cope with the situation. Run away and not cope with the situation. That's the only part, I said to my wife, the only part that I have a hard time to forgive is myself. Me, myself. It's the only part. Like, why would I make choices like that? I could do much better. Way better. But when you're insecure on the inside, like all of us have insecurity, one level or another, then you have to choose places which are the fake cover that you can feel belong or beautiful there. And that's what I did. And a lot of people did the same. And we all doing it in many areas. And this is, when you stop being worried if you're going to get embarrassed, life goes so beautifully smooth. Smooth, beautifully smooth, beyond even your imagination. But when you all day long worry what people think of you, you cannot fly, you cannot flow. There is a specific supermarket I go to usually to buy different food and all this and that. And I have my Apple, those few Apple Watch, or Apple, you can put the credit card on it. So I find it cool. I find it cool. I like it actually. I like it cool. I have a mentor for Apple. His name is Michael. You know him. Michael teach me how to use it, how to press twice. So I was so proud. My ego went up that today I'm going to go to shop and learn to press it twice on the watch and get it done with my credit card on the watch. I was so proud. A little ego even. I'm going there. Cool. And I know the people there in the supermarket. They know me. And we laugh. Usually I tell good words, compliment everybody. I was pretty organized. Brought my bag with me, perfectly organized. One little problem. My phone, when I upgrade my phone, I forgot to put the credit card. You know, it's supposed to put it again on the watch and on. I'm coming to pay. And she's already doing the whole scanning situation. She know me. I'm trying to watch my two time. I do the move. Kurnish, meaning nothing is happening. So one second. Go on my phone. There's no credit card, actually. So this is how it looks. I'm with the bags. you know, when you go to the cashier, you have the bags waiting or ready to go, and you can pay. You know, there's people right after you. Now, how do you look like? I start to see their point of view. Like this poor guy doesn't have any money, and he come to buy some food that he cannot even afford. So I pick up the phone, I call my son, Yola! Like loud, you better come here! I need money, I need that! So he arrives, and by the time people look at you, you know, you a little bit look off, and they see my son, I don't think we look alike, they don't even know if it's my son, and he right away gets his credit card and pay, and he doesn't pay to the cashier where I bought everything. The cashier tells him, I'm sorry, I'm busy, can you go to the other cashier, here's the receipt, you pay there. So they don't even know what's going on and mess. I'm going with the bags there, paying. And in my heart, I'm thinking, this is an unbelievable opportunity for me to be happy right now. It's an opportunity. It's embarrassing. People look at you with this guy, with the other guy who came up with the credit card. Never happened to me, by the way, just to make sure I tell you. I'm pretty nerd about those things, which is good that it happened to me. It's an experience. Now, I don't know, when something new, wrong, new happened to you, do you understand the delight that the Creator, that God put you in this situation for a perfect reason, or you just think it's random? If you think it's random, it's a waste of happening to you. Then you don't need to call because your whole life is random. Maybe you are here as a random person. Maybe you come as a mistake. Your pregnancy was a mistake. But if you think that everything is for a reason, and I think about myself like that, you can call it ego. But I choose to think that I'm here for a reason. And I'm here to do something very big for the world. And I hope God will help me to do that. If you take your life seriously like that, and you're secure, like I'm secure about that I came here to do something, then everything is serious. You forgetting credit card is serious. You coping with the problem, it's all serious. And if my mentor, guru, rabbi, whatever you want to call it, tell me, go and find out how can you change enemy to a lover, I will take it very seriously. Because I think that's the answer for everything. If you learn to cope with whatever that it's hard for you to cope with, your life is not just about to change, it's already changed. Because you change something internally. But if you don't want to cope with anything, then, and you're waiting for something random to happen, I'm so sorry. Your life will be like victim.com all day long, like Esau. What's wrong? My father don't like me. My mother don't like me. I don't know what's going on. They're fighting too much. I don't have money. I don't have food. As my niece say today, I'm amazed. I have gratitude that I got all the thing that I ever pray for. That's really what it's all about. And when you have that idea, not just to be appreciative and have gratitude, I'm talking about, I got to cope with the situation and the thing that's not working. Give me another opportunity to be a better, I don't know if the word in English, better coper. Can I say a better coper? No, it doesn't sound good. You become master of coping. A master coping. That's what you become. Because you deal with everything. You know it's internal. Any question for everybody? If not, I want to wish you a pleasant evening. Here in LA is super cold. I'm sure New York it's cold too. But I want to wish you a wonderful evening. And just understand that whatever you're hiding for, eventually we'll have to find you. And I'm not saying you have to chase every lion and tiger. But I'm saying if the situation already knocking on your door, you have to find a way to deal with it in a peaceful way, in a loving way. Not like Shimon and Levi, not like the two sons of Jacob, like Jacob. Read this section. Even if you read the whole section again, without any commentary, and understand how Yaakov, with this technology, cope with whatever he needs to be cope, that's an art. Thank you, and have a great evening.